Welcome to Christ Today. Yes, we ask Christ to come into our life today and every day. As we live each day, we have this choice to choose Jesus Christ and His way, or we choose something else, which often enough has to do with choosing what we want right at that moment. And you know, what we want at that moment is often tied up with what is going on right in front of our eyes in this present world. Well, we like what is good and what is right, so let us choose to follow Jesus Christ, who is completely right and completely good. So as we turn to right living, we trust in Christ for our heavenly destiny. And yes, we thank you, Jesus. We do choose heaven and not hell, right? Well, of course. Where do you want to spend eternity? But you yourself know how faithful you are to Jesus after you proclaimed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. God Jesus is the judge of us all. But apparently, we can come to Christ very quickly, and I think that is evident by the thief on the cross right next to Luke. I mean, right in Luke 23:43. And right there is the story of the thief on the cross next to Jesus. And Jesus, as they were hanging on that Christ, the thief said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." So that was a real quick salvation, wasn't it? It shows that our salvation is assured. And yet there are other indicators, like there's the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 wise and 5 foolish. And in that parable, we understand the 10 virgins all to be in an order devoted to God. And by this analogy, 5 of them went to heaven and 5 of them went to hell. That's the general description. And so there are things to argue about, like what was that wedding feast? And since it was described by Jesus while he was alive, was it describing paradise, like Abraham's bosom? Or was it describing heaven and hell? Well, There's plenty of discussions we can have about this and that. But I think the question we can ask is, what does it take to be saved? And I think of, again, that Luke 23:43 with the thief on the cross. And we know that it can be a very simple, very quick salvation that we can have. And I to me, it's a matter of a heart condition. That's what I see as so important. And that's something that we can know about, but it is something that Jesus knows better than we do. So I think of just how important it is to have that personal relation with God, Jesus. And he judges your heart, yes, and he looks at your deeds, yes, and we live our life based on the commands and the promises of God. I think that's what we all want to do, and not the promises of man. That's the thing that we always have to be careful of, because we hear men, leaders of the church, they say things, and sometimes they're not perfectly biblical. So I always urge everyone to search out the Bible truth for yourself. I think of a Bible story that illustrates that in the Old Testament in 1 Kings 13:20. Right around there. I guess it's like 10 to 30. 1 Kings 13:20. It's a story of a young prophet who did what he was instructed to do by God. And he gave a message to King Jeroboam. And he faithfully gave that message and then left. Oh yeah. But the king didn't like that message. And the king said, "Seize him!" And the king stretched out his hand to point at that young prophet. But when the king stretched out his hand shriveled up. And the king said something like, "Man of God, fix my hand!" And the man of God prayed, and the king's hand was restored. Well, read it yourself. But the point that I see is that we want to obey God's word and not listen to a man. And that young prophet did obey God's word. But then what happened next? The young prophet left that king and was on his way back home. But an old prophet heard about this event and quickly caught up to the young prophet. And the old prophet said, "Come home with me and eat." But the young prophet said, "No, for God instructed me not to." And the old prophet said, "No, God said it's okay for you to eat with me." And then they ate together. And then the old prophet said, "Why did you do what God commanded you not to do?" Then the young prophet left for his own home, and a lion quickly came along and ate him, killed him. So I always like everyone to read these stories for themselves. You get more out of Bible reading when you read it for yourself, and you know it more clearly for yourself. But here's the point that I saw, is that we want to remember to obey God and not man. You see, the young prophet heard from God, and then he believed a man instead. The old prophet, and I think that's a lesson for us today. When we hear from the words of the Bible, that is as directly as we can from God. Now there are some people who do have a word from God or a dream from God, and they obey that. And I think that's a little different. But the whole point is listen to God's word and obey God's word. Yeah, read that Bible. And these days now, these days, as it gets closer to the return of Jesus Christ, the events around us remind us to stay close to God and His Word, which is the Bible. The Bible tells us about what kind of events are going to happen before Jesus returns at the end of this age. You can read about those in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. And so many people see tumult coming about in this world. And so many of those people will draw closer and closer to God, Jesus, and the Bible until Jesus returns. And still, even though it looks like it's so close, we don't know when it will be. It'll be 50 weeks or 50 years, and really we don't know. Everybody seems to have an idea, but for knowledge, no, we don't have that. Many people believe that the present or the recent natural disasters are a part of the signs that indicate the soon return of Jesus Christ. And yeah, it could be. But soon, what is soon? I see there's a difference between what God says is soon and what we see is soon. Yeah, for instance, I guess it's the third sentence before the very end of the Bible. In Revelation, it says, oh, I come quickly. Surely I come quickly. But like I said, quick to God is not necessarily quick to us. And yet I think about the people who have gone into the next life, and I think, yes, life was quick for them. And you think of all the people who have died a sudden death, or people who have died as young soldiers. Yeah, just think of in the last 100 years, all the many, many tens of or hundreds of millions of people who have died quickly in war. So yeah, for them, it is quickly. I think of Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. So I think the lesson here is that we want to always be ready to meet God, to meet Jesus, anytime. And we do this by being a follower of Jesus Christ. A born-again follower of Jesus Christ. Now, these days, there are plenty of people who are wondering, just how close are we to the end of the age? Yeah, well, we all wonder when things will happen, when biblical things will happen. Yeah, I think we all wonder that. And I think about how beautiful our next life is going to be. Just wonderful, wonderful in heaven. And just, it's such a wonderful thing to be close to our God and to have the amazing things of heaven. You listen to the people who have a description of heaven, and it is so amazingly wonderful. But let us be prepared spiritually for what comes our way. As I do think about preparation, spiritual preparation first, but also physical preparation and preparedness in other ways too. Even a political preparation so that we are prepared to respond to the world around us, the people around us, in a godly way. Yes, we have this tradition in the United States where we enjoy a very great political freedom. And surely we want to keep that freedom. The United States has been called a beacon of hope and freedom. And as you travel the world, you do see that that's true. The United States has food in abundance and riches in abundance. And the reason for that I see is because of our relation with God. And God wants us to enjoy our freedom and the benefits of freedom. That's what I read in the Bible. So I think it's what we want to do is to, yes, love God, and yes, to keep his commandments, including not to murder. And that means to protect the innocent. And if we don't do that, I think we will have consequences, some hard consequences. And time will tell what they will be. But I hope that we all pray actively for this nation and that we turn to the righteousness of God. And yes, that means his commandments. That means knowing God as we can best know him by reading the Bible. Or there's a few people who have a personal experience or a dream or vision. Yes, I think that's good too. But let us remember that a part of being close to God is to repent from our ungodly ways. So right along with that, let us also pray for mercy from God. I see when nations turn from God, they collapse. And that's what I'm concerned about our nation. It's a history. It's a pattern that repeats. And if we look at the history, we can see this. And yes, there's bad things that happen around us in a societal way or an economic way. And you can plainly see internationally, there's things that happen on every level, spiritual, financial, societal. So from the historical examples, I'm afraid that we're going to see some sort of a collapse because of the turning we are doing away from God as a society. But the more people who turn to God, the more we will have benefits of being a godly people. I do look at the economy today. I do see things that have never happened before in history. We have zero, or close to zero, interest rates. And in some other countries, they are negative interest rates. And somehow, our system just cannot go on with economic instability going on. And we keep printing dollars. The Federal Reserve, let's see, in 2020, it said that the Federal Reserve has printed $6 trillion more dollars. That's a lot. And the more you have of something, the less is each one's value. Let's see. I want to say million, billion, trillion again, because it shows the immensity of what $1 trillion is. And I do that by relating it to seconds. 1 million seconds is 12 days. 1 billion seconds is 32 years. 1 trillion seconds is 32,000 years. So we are dealing with a gigantic federal loan that we have, and our deficits only increase each and every year. And when we're talking about printing $6 trillion more dollars on a computer screen, well, we have to remember what history shows us. The countries who have done that in the past have had a gigantic collapse. And the credit system collapses, and then nobody has cash and nobody has savings. That's just a condition. It has happened so many times in history. It happened in 1929, before our Great Depression. It was pretty similar along those lines. So our situation is precarious right now, just like our election is precarious. You know, our news media is telling us who won, but the news media is not the right authority to tell us who won. And our vote does not even determine who wins. It is our electoral college that they determine who wins the elections. And they meet in about a month. And all in the midst of what's going on now, we have voter fraud. That's a question that's going on, where many states are reporting hundreds of thousands of more votes than there are registered voters. And the only way that can happen is really and truly voter fraud. Big voter fraud. And another example of this kind of fraud that goes on is how many people are on Social Security that are over age 112? 6.5 million people over the age of 112 are on Social Security. And you know what? That just can't be. The statisticians in the world tell us in the whole world there are only 35 people alive today who are over the age of 112. So how can 6.5 million people be receiving Social Security that are over age 112? And to me, I see this as a parallel with the voter fraud that's going on in the dead people who vote. It's a system that we have to fix. And with the fraud that is going on, I expect that it will be so evident that we will have a call to fix the voter fraud that is going on today and for many decades in the past. It's been a common understanding that more people voted in a district than there were voters, and a number of people who had passed, who had died, also voted. And these are voter irregularities, and there are steps right now in place to determine which ballots were legitimate and which ballots were photocopied and sent in to be counted as a legitimate ballot. Rumor has it that there is a watermark hidden on the true ballots. And these same people report that the illegitimate ballots that were just copied and put into the ballot boxes were all votes for Biden. Time will tell. Time will tell the true facts, and we are speaking about it because we hear this and that from apparently good sources. But we don't really know. Time will tell. And So all this is indicating more confusion. And with the confusion, it means there could be a delay in who is determined to be our president. And it makes for an uncertain situation. And I just kind of wonder what would happen. Could you imagine if the Speaker of the House became president for a few weeks until the vote was decided? What would that person do? I don't know what executive orders she would pass, but and I also don't think that would happen. But it, when things are uncertain, you never know how bizarre the turns will become. You just don't know. Uncertainty brings on more uncertainty. But there is a process to decide who will become the next president. If there is this kind of confusion and conflict. And by the way, it happened in 1800 and in 1804. And perhaps it will happen again in 2020. Who knows? And who knows what kind of chaos will come about because of it. But there is a process about if the president says that there is confusion in the voting and that it's not appropriate for him to step down at this time. So, like I said, it has happened before in those 1800s. And now what would happen then is that the decision is made by our Congress. And each state gets a vote, one vote, to vote for president. And that would be how it would determine if the president did not want to step down because of election irregularities. It's in the Constitution, in that first section. But there is a process that has been set aside for if that happens. So it's not as bad as we think, except there will be a lot of confusion and bad feelings if that were to happen. And again, we need to be prepared for the just in case, because just in case things really do happen, just like they go on everywhere in the world. But since I'm talking about unlikely things to happen, I will bring up another unlikely thing. But historians have noticed that in the world, a foreign invasion or a military takeover by a foreign military is more likely to happen when a country is not stable or when a country has no leader. Another force steps in. And so people have observed that right in between the election, or between the presidents at the time of an election, is when there is a certain uncertainty in our country, and that is perhaps a window of opportunity for a military situation or a foreign invasion to happen. Now, I don't think it's likely. I don't mean it's likely at all. But I mean to say that it is something that has been discussed by historians. And so I bring it up as a point of interest. And we do live in interesting times when all sorts of things are happening in our country and in the world. Our country is in a way unstable because of the financial situation. And I just saw the statistic again where 70% of all Americans have less than $1,000 in savings. If there wasn't a current need or an emergency need, they would have to raise money on credit. So it's a general description of how things are now in these days. It's an example of why we have an instability around us, because we are, in many ways, unstable as a people. And instability can spread from one area to the other. These shutdowns that we are going through, yes, in our country, and yes, the shutdowns are all over the world, and people are having desperate needs. And people in our nation and all over the world, they don't have the means that they need to get through a time, a period of difficulty, of upheaval. No, they don't. People want this and they want that. Well, I think of the people in Hong Kong. You know, they have been protesting for 6 months, mass demonstrations in the streets, because their country is under the threat of being taken over by China. And the people of Hong Kong want a democratic form of government like the United States has. But China will not allow it. And China sends police to Hong Kong to arrest the high visibility people and the elected representatives who are promoting democracy. And you can look it up. It's right on online. If you look on YouTube, you can see the Chinese police doing this right in the very halls of Hong Kong government, arresting people, taking them right out of the chambers. Things are going on. The Chinese agents in Hong Kong are offering rewards up to an equivalent of $1,500 American, I mean, United States dollars. And they get to stay anonymous if they turn somebody in for anti-government behavior, or if they turn somebody in for being a Christian or any other illegal religious activities. See, that's going on in Hong Kong, and that is going on in the world. These things are happening. And there's a lot of injustice in the world, and we want to do what we can to preserve the freedoms that we have in this country. America is a great land, and we want to preserve its freedoms. There's a lot of things in the world going on, a lot of power-hungry dictators, and they have no regard for human life. Just think in China. Think in China how there are millions and millions of people, Falun Gong, Uyghur Muslims, and Christians who were sentenced to prison in China. They had a death sentence. And when they are sentenced to death in China, their body, their human value, is forfeited to the state, which is the Communist Party. And the state is authorized, therefore, to harvest their organs and to sell those organs around the world. And that organ harvesting is done with no anesthesia. Of course, the prisoner dies quickly. And we view that as a crime, because it is. It's inhuman. But it goes on. Well, we're not perfect either in America. We harvest baby fetuses. And that's done, again, without anesthesia for the baby. And it's being done by the millions and millions. And we Americans had better change our way, repent and change, or we can only guess what kind of a price we will have to pay. At some point, God's judgment will come upon us. And in various ways, and sure, the economy is dying, and it's a question, is that done because of God's judgment or because of our own consequences for our actions? I think the economy is our own consequences. We've been doing things that were unsound practices. And even now, we are having a situation where the businesses are having to close down all over the state, all over the country, and even all over the world. And maybe you heard in the news, it was 2 months ago that Disneyland said that they had to lay off 28,000 workers. And now again, this month, Disneyland has said it is laying off even more employees, from the top and the middle management down to the worker level of employees. Businesses are laying off by the thousands all over. And then the government is struggling with helping the people. We're doing that, but we are getting into deeper and deeper debt as we borrow more money to pay for the benefits. See, there are also something called forbearances, where the government has said not to kick people out of their houses if they didn't pay rent due to the coronavirus. But that is coming to an end soon. And just think, what are we going to do? The workers in the United States are having a harder and harder time. And of course, you know who's not having the harder time? The people who are causing this upset within our economy. The upper echelon of people, the governors, the health professional, the health directors, they are not losing their jobs, but we, the people, are. It's quite a situation. Our debt is growing, our national debt, and it's not good for our overall economy. There's many people, many financial people, who have seen a crisis coming for several years because of the credit situation. And now it's even worse. It just keeps getting worse and worse. And now, in the last months, there have been quite a few more financial people who are forecasting a depression greater than the Great Depression of the 1930s. And yet our stock market keeps going up and up and up. Wall Street is going up, but to just about everyone else, it doesn't mean anything. Because people are losing their jobs. People are losing their businesses. Businesses closing all over the place because of government demands. So with the rich people buying stock and the Federal Reserve printing more and more money, like I said, trillions of dollars, $6 trillion, in 2020, well, we just know that it can't go on. We know that it's going to cause hardship at one point or another. It's going to destabilize our economy. That's a historical fact. Countries that have printed money without anything to back their currency have gone bankrupt, and their money becomes worthless. And look up these facts for yourself and you'll see that's been a constant theme of countries that print currency by a central bank without backing, without a financial backing, as in gold. So, what's going to happen? What is going to happen? Well, the smart money is putting their currency into assets that last. And pretty much that is property that is paid off, you know, free and clear without any mortgages. Or they're going to buy something that has value throughout time, like a farm. But again, that's property. How about food? There are people who are buying food, and they're buying tools. And I don't mean a car or a truck, because those lose value, but I mean tools that you would use in a trade to build things. There's other people who have less money to put into that, and they're buying, like I said, food like grains and sugar and salt and oil and spices and a manual grain grinder. See, if a depression comes along, we can always eat our food. Yeah, it's not the wonderful food we get from restaurants nowadays, but it will keep us going. So, oh yes, and I should say the oldest money in history, which is gold and silver. There's plenty of people who are buying gold and silver also. So go to a reputable coin dealer, if that's what you want to do, and buy some coins. There's a big question of if you buy gold and silver bullion coins or gold and silver circulated coins, the old, old ones. Well, I'll let you figure that out for yourself. There's pros and cons to each ones, and it's a matter of expense also and what you want to spend. But here I am talking about the concerns. Don't neglect your biggest concern, which is your spiritual life. Always, that is the most important. And yet, we live in the physical world, and we talk about things happening. Oh, yeah, like earthquakes. And there are, the Bible says earthquakes are coming. I think back to that letter to President Trump by that Archbishop and Nuncio, Carlo Vigano. That was dated October 25th, 2020. That open letter did talk about what he sees as coming to the United States and other countries. It's not good. Oh, yeah. Look at you can look up that letter if you want. It's on the internet. It's an open letter to President Trump. Or you can listen to my 11/7/2020 broadcast of Christ Today. It's very interesting, the things he sees coming, and yes, we ought at least be aware of what somebody who has been among important people, among the elite, he has an idea of what's coming, and it is not good. So, how do we get prepared? Well, it depends on what you see is coming. And to me, I see food and water as being the very first basic. And you get to figure out what parameters you want to look at. What kind of biblical events do you see coming along? Because the Bible does describe things as coming, and often enough, we don't want to believe it because we can't understand it. we can't see that these things are really going to happen, but they happen just the way the Bible tells. I think of the prophecies around Jesus, that he would come out of Egypt, that he would be born in Bethlehem, that he would be a Nazarene. And to the ancient mind, it was just impossible that all these things would happen. In fact, it's pretty hard for us to, in our modern thinking, to say all those things were true also. But the Bible has shown itself to be completely true. And that means when we see that, when we read that the prophetic things are coming before the end of the age, Matthew 24:3, Mark 13:8, and Luke 21:10, they all talk about what will happen at the end of the age. Famine, pestilence, epidemics, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes in diverse places. Well, the one thing that we can do something about for sure is famine, and we can all get some food safely put aside for the just in case. And that's why I like my foods that are grains, just the basics. Yeah, it's not the most wonderful food, but it is certainly food. And it will do us good and get us by. When you look at the people who have had hard times in the past, and there are plenty of stories about people who have had hard times. They have had an emergency situation come up, or they've had persecution, and those food supplies have saved their lives. Yeah, another reason for these supplies last really a long time that I suggest: grain, legumes, sugar, salt, oil, spices, vitamins, and a few other things like a manual grain grinder and, well, other basics. I think about the people who have a story to tell where their lives have been saved by having those food things set aside. Oh, perhaps you've heard the testimony of Bridget Gabriel, and she's told about her life when she was younger, that she was a Christian in Lebanon, and she and her family had to hide in their concrete block building. Because if they went out, everybody knew they were Christians, and they would be used for target practice. They would be literally shot at to be killed. So those things can really happen in this life. There's a lot of people who hate Christians, and or they just hate because they hate. There's another woman who has been giving her testimony here and there, and you can look it up on YouTube. It's Yenomi Park, and she escaped from North Korea, and she wanted to leave her home because she was so very, very hungry. She was so hungry in those teenage years of hers that she would search for food and often eat grasshoppers because that's all there was to eat. And her testimony is very interesting. There's several places you can hear it. She says the North Korean people were so concerned about getting enough food to eat that they would not have any time or energy to revolt against the dictator. And she also said that if 80% of those people of North Korea had owned guns, then there would not be a dictator because they would have rebelled. She said, guns are a form of equality against force. And she says she loves America, where she is now, and she loves our Constitution and, of course, our Bill of Rights. America is the best country in the world, and we must preserve it. So, if you're interested, look up her testimony. It is shocking and interesting. So back to food. I hope that we all have a supply of at least the basic food and a water filter. I sure don't know how much to have. I wonder about it, and really, I just don't know. Are we looking at days, weeks, months, or years? I just don't know. And are we looking at a problem where there's a famine because of the a problem with the food, like a fungus or a virus or a blight on the food? Well, famines can just develop for all sorts of reasons, including famine. Including flooding. Because flooding can kill a vast amount of crops. And in China right now, they are having flooding big time. For the last months, there has been flooding. And the Chinese people are concerned that they will not have enough food to eat because of the flooding. But the Chinese communist leaders, they are not concerned. In fact, they canceled their grain contracts with Australia. So what will happen in the future? Oh, yes, we do want to know that. We really want to know. But we don't have an accurate forecast. We just know that there's going to be things happening, and some of it is going to be some pretty big trouble. And we get to see what it is. We get to figure it out. And again, have some preparation for the just in case. I think that's really always important, because only God knows what's going to happen in the future exactly. But we do know that events are coming because they are forecast in the Bible. And yes, we do pray that we will escape the things that shall come to pass. Luke 21:36. And yet we know that the time frame is really something that people, well, they argue about it. And they say, don't worry, we're going to be raptured right out of here. Yeah. Well, there's passages that seem to indicate that. And there's passages that seem to say, we won't be raptured until after the tribulation. But you can listen to a lot of people, and I do. And I think it's very interesting what they have to say. The scholars, they do what I call Bible gymnastics, because they go here and there to find passages that say what they are trying to communicate. I don't know that I know the answer. I just know that it's a question, and we ought to look at the Bible reading in a very basic way and try to understand it as though we had the mind of a child, and what is the Bible trying to tell us. Yes, there were people who were removed from society and saved, like Noah, like Lot. And is that what will happen in the future? Or will, because of our ungodly behavior as a society, will we go through consequences? There are arguments all over the place. Who is correct? Well, there's some people who just can't even to think that we would be going through any difficult times. And so they pin all their hopes on a rapture. I don't blame you for that, if that's you. But I know that there's a great deal of room for a question. And there's a great deal of room for, well, I call it question, but a lot of people argue about it. So the point is, to me, it is uncertain. And therefore, we can look at what if it was one way and what if it was another? And that leads me to say, let's get some preparedness supplies in order, because really, we don't know. I know before the 1800s, every Christian believed that we were going to go through the tribulation period. That was just a well-known fact. Of course we will. And then, right around 1800, there was the rapture doctrine that began to get developed, and it spread throughout America. People liked the idea of not having to go through any tribulation, and that we would be raptured before any trouble came along. Well, I don't think that's biblical history. I think that God puts his people right through the difficulty and watches them through it. But there's lots of room for discussion here, isn't there? Lots of people have lots of opinions, and maybe you do too. But to me, I say, let's be a little prepared, and let's get some of those very basic, simple food needs taken care of, so that if there is the famine that is talked about, that we will be able to get through it and be able to be faithful to spread the good news of the gospel to the people that are having a hard time. And with our supplies, of course we will be able to share them. Of course. Everyone has a different idea of what those supplies will be, and I hope you consider what they would be in case, you know, for the just in case. We are supposed to work. God calls on us to work. We are to work the fields by the spread of our brow. That's in Genesis and Proverbs. So we have to figure this out and work it out, but perhaps look at what you can do to buy some extra food, any extra food. I like grains because they last long and they're relatively inexpensive, and you make your own decisions. So I do think about Benjamin Franklin also, and he said, failing to prepare is preparing to fail. So, if you'd like my preparedness pamphlet, just send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll send that right back to you. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.